Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
What's up, it's your girl, Sasha Banks, legit boss, and you're watching Going In Raw. You like that?
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode. And you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button on YouTube and the notify bell next to it. You know what YouTube needs to implement, Larson? They need to implement...
Oh, where to start?
They need to... Well, yeah, I know. But they need to implement a subscriber... an unsubscriber survey.
Why are an exit survey.
An exit survey.
Yeah, like Patreon has.
Why are you unsubscribing from Steven Larson?
That would be handy.
And then, so we get a reason.
Probably the most common be, YouTube made me do it.
I know. Non-consensual for YouTube. Anyways, we can be found on the YouTube. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, the notify bell next to it. Make sure you're still subscribed to Going In Raw if you want to be. We're also available wherever all the fine podcasts can be found, including, of course, CastBox. We have a great partnership with CastBox. Ooh, what is this? True Crime Guys. That looks like cool. Oh, have you ever listened to that Missing Richard Simmons podcast?
No.
Apparently he was missing, but then like the entire thing, he wasn't really. He just sort of became a recluse a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Remember Richard Simmons?
Yeah.
Crazy little exercise guy?
Yeah.
Anyways, we went well past the 600 comments on
CastBox. Yeah, we're
cast
up to
box.
Almost 700 now. Let's aim for 700 by the end of the week.
Okay, so let's hit up CastBox.
Yes.
It's free on iOS and Android. Go to Going In Raw, sub to us, and then leave us a comment, and it might be read right here on the show. Let's see here.
Go ahead.
Dylan, I only got this for you guys. There's three many reasons why you're my favorite wrestling podcast. Two sweet friendos. Thanks.
Oh, here's a great one.
Friendo.
Zach Bennett. I only found your show because it was featured on CastBox after you started your partnership with them, and now it's the only pro wrestling podcast I should be listening to right here on CastBox.
That's true.
But seriously, you guys are great, and I really enjoyed the show. Thanks, friendo.
Thanks, friendo.
Hey, Zach.
Wow.
Thanks, friendo.
Thanks, friendo. Anyways, we're also available at Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. We were discussing in the pre-show a variety of subjects. So at the $5 and up a month mark, you get to check out these recap shows as live streams with the pre-show and a post-show.
When the link works.
When the link works, yes, correct. Sometimes it's a rocky boat, but it's a fun party.
We're getting up there in years. We don't really know how to use technology these days.
This is what it's like, man. This is what it's like to like.
Like, ask me to program a VCR. I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
That I can do.
So like with this, it's mainly just remembering all the stuff we do.
Yeah.
Remembering all.
Blinking at us now.
What's that? Oh yeah. Again, I have no control over that whatsoever.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm just making you aware of it.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
There's a lot of things going on here.
Yeah, I know. It's all bleep, 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 bleep. So
it's like an array of lights on the deck.
We also have the bridge
of the Starship Enterprise.
We also have something very special this week happening for $5 net patrons. It's our very special episode of non-news.
Oh.
Because we do non-news. We're going to do a reaction or review of Enzo's new video, Phoenix.
It might be pretty short.
It's probably going to be pretty short. Anyways, no, we're not going to do we're going to watch it as we're reacting to it. It's going to be a reaction thing. I mean, talk about it while reacting to that song again? Yeah, pretty much.
Ugh.
Hey, dude, this is our job, man. You don't always what you want to do.
Talking about wrestling as our job. He's not a wrestler anymore.
That you know of. Impact might pick him up tomorrow, man. That'll go on our list of things they should not have done.
Yeah.
That's our count out this week is the Impact.
It's an Impact focused.
Impact celebration.
Duo of count out episodes. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll do really well.
Right, exactly. It'll be great. Anyways, and then we're also at Pro Wrestling Tees. I think this weekend they're having a sale.
Yeah, Friday through Monday. I think
buy five get one free.
No, well, not that's not the term. Just buy five get 25% off your entire order.
Okay, all right. I kind of want to do the math on that. Hold on a second. If you buy five, usually
five and it's usually $20 one, so that'd be $100. So it'd be $25 off. So it'd be a little bit more than one.
Wow,
free.
you get like a shirt and a quarter off. A shirt 0.25 off.
Like a sleeve.
Yeah, shirt and a sleeve off, exactly.
For free.
So, it's a good deal.
So if you have a third arm,
yeah,
you can attach that to your free shirt.
Right.
And it'll have its own sleeve.
Yeah, that's way too confusing. So that's where we are. Very exciting stuff. Now, we were talking in the pre-show what our shoot and kayfabe cars are. Mike, because I just got a car. What are you laughing at?
I was waiting for someone. Cause I brought some green tea in to drink today. And I was waiting for someone to ask the question that Alex C. just asked, whether if I was drinking urine.
If that's urine, that's so gross.
That means whoever's urine this is, they're extremely dehydrated.
Desperately needs water.
And it's actually pretty impressive. That's like, if that's the case, and that's like a good 2 days worth of urine.
That's like,
it's not as green tea.
Oh, okay. So just, I like that you threw that out there before you started drinking the pee-pee.
Well, I'm not Kevin Costner from Waterworld.
Yeah,
I'm not drinking pee.
Ugh, so gross. Anyways. What's his face? The other guy who used to pee in jars.
Howard Hughes?
But he didn't drink it.
No, he just
peed
in jars.
He just peed in the jars.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I learned stuff from history. Anyways, what would your kayfabe car be? Again. You don't like Kit? Somebody suggested Kit.
Oh, Kit's good. But only with like a Tesla engine in it. Because I want it to be like, you know, ecologically sound.
Okay. So, that's not going to happen. Although, I'm sure the modern-day Kit... Well, I know they did that show recently, but it was like a Mustang.
Uh-huh. They should have made it a Tesla.
Isn't it Elon Musk going crazy these days?
No, I don't know.
I sort of heard various Twitter things that he's like going crazy.
I don't know.
He was like calling out the press on Twitter.
Mm.
He's a weirdo. They're all weirdos, man. They're all just freaking weird. Everybody's a weirdo. You know what I mean? Anyways, I got a new car. Moving on. Let's talk about SmackDown.
Yeah.
It was actually really fun.
It was actually a really fun episode of SmackDown. I was really
good
into
stuff.
It.
It's kicked off with Samoa Joe coming to the ring with a friggin' biblical, he had a Bible with him. He got out a ladder.
He had a Bible with him.
He was speaking a lot of biblical talk, man.
His promo was Jacob's ladder, and whatnot. That was great. He referenced Jacob's ladder. So he goes into the ring, produces a ladder, puts it in the ring, scales the ladder, grabs a Money in the Bank briefcase. Apparently he's Mr. Money in the Bank now.
Yeah.
And then he dropped his promo talking about Jacob's ladder. And pretty much saying, I think, it's prophecy, he's winning.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. He said, you know, but this time there will be no angels singing or no smiling angels or whatever. There will be no road to heaven. It will just be me or something like that. And then he calls out Daniel Bryan and Daniel Bryan's wife and saying, when they look at you and say, who did this to you? You're going to say it's a bad man named Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
It was all very eloquent.
He referenced Daniel Bryan's child, too.
Right, yeah.
And Daniel Bryan came out with a head of steam saying,
Don't go there.
You don't cross that line. You don't talk about my family. And he wants to throw down right now.
Yeah.
So why wait for the main event? Let's brawl.
And I love this. Samoa Joe, without even saying a word, he collapses the ladder, puts it out. He's ready to throw down. Daniel Bryan gets in. They're ready to throw down. I have a big smile on my face because I know these two are like probably best friends.
Yeah.
You know, but they're just having so much fun. Ooh, we finally get to do something. Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, we get to do something. And then, Freaking yeah. Cass's music hits. Yeah. He comes out with his goofy suit and
this
his
one
crutch.
Seemed to fit him better though.
Mildly,
the sleeves weren't as
slightly.
Short.
Anyways, he was coming out. I kind of like Cass's shit talk. Because he gets in this really whiny voice.
Oh, that I can do without.
It kind of makes me laugh. It reminds me of Adam Sandler back when he was funny. Back when Adam
that
Sandler
was a long time ago.
It was a really long time.
It's like 20
but
years ago.
To do this voice, and it made me. I don't know. It kind of.
It's not bad.
I know, and it made me laugh. So that aspect of it made me laugh. Because right. Sandler was pretty funny back then. So anyways, he comes out and then he does what we kind of figured what would happen.
He says, I never, you know, I got denied my Money in the Bank qualifying shot. I want my match, me versus Joe. And Daniel Bryan's upset about that. And Cass says, guess what? I'm cleared. Throws the crutch aside that he came out with. And, then he goes after Daniel Bryan and Joe.
Didn't he blast somebody with the crutch?
Maybe he did.
Thought he did that.
Well, then he blasted both of them with the briefcase.
Oh, yeah.
He laid out everybody.
Yeah.
He stands tall to end the segment.
Yeah, kind of a bummer that we get. Look, I like Big Cass. I really do. I don't necessarily miss him when he's gone, and I kind of don't want him in the middle. Like, look, I actually would have really loved and had preferred last night in the main event Big Cass to go over. Because then we might have gotten Daniel Bryan versus Samoa Joe in a feud, and maybe we'd have seen that match at Money in the Bank. That's what I would have really preferred, because I just want to see those two guys go at it. Every moment we have Daniel Bryan is a gift and a treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And so it should be treated as such. Money in the Bank should have been Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe. But we didn't get that.
No,
instead.
I'm actually way happier with Samoa Joe than the Money in the Bank match.
Why, though? Really?
Yeah. Samoa Joe would be an awesome guy to carry that briefcase.
But here's the thing. There's already at least four people who would be awesome carrying that case.
Yeah, that's why I'm actually really excited for it. Because pretty much if anybody who wins that match, I'm going to be excited about the prospect. Not everybody, but pretty much everybody.
So you'd rather see Daniel Bryan versus Cass than Daniel Bryan versus Samoa Joe?
No, but I'd rather see Daniel Bryan versus Samoa Joe down the line with a really good build.
Yeah. Well,
they've already invested time in building up this Daniel Bryan Cass feud. It might not be my thing.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing that this Money in the Bank match, when Daniel Bryan goes over, is going to be the blow off, and that's going to be that.
I would
hope
so.
Until they start the build up for Daniel Bryan versus The Miz, part one of their feud going to SummerSlam.
Yeah. I view every Daniel Bryan
match as his last one. Especially in this one when he did that thing where he climbed up the turnbuckles and kind of lost his footing a little bit.
I know, exactly.
Course correct off Samoa Joe, essentially, so he didn't fall.
So, I mean, that's my thing, is that Money in the Bank is kind of aiming to be the fifth big pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally get that we're only a couple weeks out from it, but we've had lesser builds than that for big matches. And so, yeah, I mean, the writing was on the wall. We knew this was going to happen, you know, 2 weeks ago. That being said, when I see Big Cass coming out to interrupt a match that I really, really want to see, and then he gets added, or, you know, gets changed
so
to be a triple threat.
They added him is because they are saving Joe versus Daniel Bryan for a major show.
You would think.
Yeah.
You would hope.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that. You know what I mean? Like,
well, the way
how do we know we're going to get that?
I know we can't predict injuries, but the way SmackDown's been handling their creative, I fully expect that match to happen, assuming no one gets hurt within the next year.
I would like to think that.
Assuming Daniel Bryan resigns.
But if I have something in front of me, I would just take it instead of Daniel Bryan versus Cass. What if Daniel Bryan gets injured in that Cass match?
Yeah.
And then he's gone. I much rather would have happened with a Samoa Joe match. That's my point. So anyways, let's see here.
So anyways, next we get Paige is backstage. Talking to who's she talking to? She was talking to somebody, anyways. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville walk up to her. They say, "Why is Asuka getting all these opportunities handed to her?
Yeah,
we should be getting opportunities. We used to be Absolution."
Mm-hmm.
And Paige says, "You want opportunity here? Mandy Rose versus Asuka tonight."
Mm-hmm.
She said, "Asuka, she didn't lose for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she deserves a title shot.
Yeah,
just because she lost once doesn't take away the fact that she was the most dominant wrestler in WWE for like 3.5 years."
Mm-hmm.
And then she also says during this segment, she walks away from them, walks up to, was it Renee Young?
Yes, it was Renee Young.
Cue interview, all in one shot. I like when they do this.
Well, I liked it better because it was an Aaron Sorkin-esque walking shot, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Paige had no time to stop. She said, she didn't even say, she just like nudged her with her and they started walking.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Walking while reciting lines...
ain't easy.
It's probably a lot more difficult than just standing still and doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to freaking Paige and, and what's-her-face, Renee Young
for
nailing that. I thought it was really well done. I thought it was good.
So Renee Young asked Paige about what had just happened the previous segment, and she said, well, everybody involved has a legitimate claim to be in this qualifying match, so I'm going to make it a triple threat. So main event will be Joe versus Daniel Bryan versus Kath. Next... Shinsuke Nakamura, who earlier on we saw walking through the hallways with sheets of paper with numbers printed on them.
Oh, I like that. That
counting
was good.
Up to 10.
I like that he's got, now that we're entering sort of a new phase of this feud with AJ Styles, he's transitioning into a new hook.
Yeah.
You know,
before, he likes numbers.
Before it was just talking about knees to face and low blows. Now he likes numbers.
He's a numbers guy.
He's a numbers guy.
And who better to take on than, you know, the true number guy of WWE, the perfect 10,
the perfect number guy. Exactly.
He pretty much has your haircut now.
Should I get some lines?
Yes.
Really?
100% yes.
We should make that like a predictions loss.
Okay.
If I get lines, money in the bank, I'll get lines.
Good. I like
my
hair.
And then you can do that. You can like do the lines.
No.
Do you know how to do lines?
Do you want them to be straight lines or can they be a little crooked?
It doesn't really matter. It's going to look stupid either way.
All right. Yeah, I'll do that. Can I give you a couple on your eyebrows too?
What do you do with Ty Dillinger and his hair, man? Because it looks terrible.
I don't think it looks terrible.
I feel like he's trying something and it's really not working and it's just not going to be good.
I feel like it's an improvement of how over how it was when he had the man bun.
None of it's good. But I don't know really how to fix that.
I feel like instead
it doesn't matter. He's never on TV.
I feel like instead of having it parted and falling over his forehead, he needs to comb it back some.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Then I think it would work better.
Maybe. What if he does like the Phil Collins thing where it was like just one line? It was like a landing strip, but on his head right here. And then, like, he has hair back here.
But he seems to have a good head of hair, so you want to...
What if he just shaves the number 10 in his head?
Okay.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
And then he goes like this.
Yeah. Or he'll just have to go like this, and he'll say 10.
Well,
instead of having the laminated 10, he pulls out of his trunks.
Yeah.
He can just do 10.
He goes like this.
Yeah.
Like that. Anyways, Shinsuke Nakamura took on...
This is a really fun match.
This is a really fun match. I love the story of this. So Shinsuke was trying to beat the crap out of Ty Dillinger to the point where Ty Dillinger's on the ground, incapacitated, where Shinsuke will then start... He starts counting to 10.
Yeah.
And Ty, through his sheer grit and determination, kept on getting up before Shinsuke reached 10 and would royally piss off Shinsuke every single time.
Yes.
I really liked it. I thought it was good.
And in fact, at one moment when Nakamura was counting 10, Ty got up and did that right to his
Shinsuke
face.
Got to 9.
Yeah.
And then turns around to do 10, and he realizes he's up, and he goes,
10.
10.
And then Ty follows that up with, come on.
That was really, because Shinsuke goes for a clothesline. He rolls, gets up, and says, come on. It was a really strong showing for Ty Dillinger.
I don't know if they still do, but these guys used to travel together.
Yeah, I know. They seem like they're best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like throughout all their Instagrams and stuff, there's just picture after picture after picture of these two together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this was something really nice for Ty.
They probably spent a couple days on the road discussing how they wanted this match to play out.
Or at least a good chunk of an afternoon, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it was good on Shinsuke for making his buddy look really good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And good on Ty Dillinger for convincing somebody to put him on TV.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can do that.
He just took
often.
The Twitter a little bit.
What's that?
At least kayfabe-wise, he just took the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And started calling out Nakamura, maybe because Nakamura seemed like he was trying to steal his 10 gimmick.
Do you think that,
what they should do is make Ty the special guest referee for that match.
That's going a bit more. That's doing a bit much.
That'd be awesome.
Well, how about this? He's special guest referee, turns on AJ, joins Chaos 2.0.
Yeah.
WWE version of Chaotic.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that. Anyways, Nakamura picks up the win with a Kinshasa. After the bell, he hits another on Ty.
Bag of his head, too. Yeah. Ooh, that was nasty.
And then he got his 10 count finally.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we got an AJ Styles interview where he's talking about Shinsuke Nakamura, saying, something must have snapped in Shinsuke mentally. He's changed. He's deranged. But I beat the odds all the time. I don't know. It was a fairly standard AJ interview.
Yeah, but it was well delivered.
It was good. Next up, we had, highly anticipated, the Lana Naomi dance-off.
Oh, this is entertaining. What?
Yeah, it was okay. It was all right. I liked it.
Yeah.
It's a dance off, man.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They wisely...
I still don't know if I like it. I like... Aiden English is so weird, and he's weird in a way that I don't know if I like it.
You sound like a WWE executive right now.
Oh, tell me why.
Because one of the reasons I read that they want to break up Rusev Day is because, I don't know if it's Vince or people right below Vince or whom exactly, didn't like Aiden English's like appearance, his look, his aesthetic.
I like everything about him. You know what I don't like? I don't like the rapping.
Oh, it doesn't bother me.
It's really nerdy. It's like super nerdy.
We watch wrestling for a living.
I know. I do a Star Trek podcast.
So
I'm not going to say for a living because I don't make any money off that.
Yeah.
But I do that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I wouldn't. Do you want to see yourself on the TV? No. I don't want to see you on the TV.
No, but that's also not an aspiration of mine.
Right.
I never thought I'd be missing my on point YouTube.
Right, you're missing my point right now.
Okay.
I'm not sure I want to see nerdiness on the TV. That's my point.
Well, why would anybody ever watch our show then?
Well, they all like to see nerdiness because they like nerdiness too.
See, here's my thing though. Without Aiden English doing the Rusev Day song and now incorporating the Lana is the best, Lana's number one,
yeah,
Rusev would not be over to the degree he is.
That's true.
He's a huge part in the Rusev Day.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not capping on Aiden English, man. I'm just asking the question, do I like him or not? And I don't know the answer to those questions. I don't always have the answers.
Did he ruin the dance off for you?
No. No, everything after him singing, I really like. He looks cool. There's something about it that looks cool.
Yeah, I don't get why like WWE would have a problem if the rumors are true with his presentation.
I don't know why WWE does anything.
I know.
You know, it's all weird.
It's like they don't realize a huge, massive aspect of why one of your stars is as popular as what they are.
Yeah,
and they want to separate Aiden English from the Rusev Day thing. Apparently, if this is true.
Mm-hmm.
For kind of a silly reason.
I'll believe it when I see it, man.
No, I know.
It kind of feels like one of those things that might have been a thing and then isn't a thing, although I guess we'll see after Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Because they haven't even been teasing it. They teased it that first time, that very first time, and then completely dropped it. And yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they were like, well, hold on a second, let's actually build to this. But then that would surprise me because they don't really build anything either.
No. No.
I don't know. That's why your assertion, they're like, they're saving Daniel Bryan versus Samoa Joe for a much better opportunity. Really? I don't think they are.
No, I think they are.
I think they might stumble into it, but no, I don't think they have a whiteboard?
No, I don't think it's plotted out.
Do you think they have a whiteboard that they're like, oh, we're going to get to that?
I don't think it's plotted out over the next 8 months.
Oh, man. Come on.
But if they have an opportunity, and I know they've given away tons of pay-per-view quality matches on free TV.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm fine with. I like watching
matches. Oh, I don't have a problem with it either, per se, but I just felt like once I saw Cash show up, I was like, oh, okay, they're going to save Joe versus Daniel Bryan for a larger moment.
If Joe versus Daniel Bryan happens at SummerSlam, that would be fantastic and amazing, and I'll be like, okay, wow, maybe they actually did save this. But I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it. I don't really believe that they build anything or save anything for anything. They just sort of, what's going on this week? We'll put these two together.
I don't know. I kind of feel like given the last 3 or 4 weeks of SmackDown, it seems like they kind of have a direction. I feel like I kind of know in a certain sense where they're going to be going with certain aspects.
I hope so. That'd be nice.
Anyways, back to this dance-off. They kept it short.
Yeah,
Each competitor got 1 minute. To dance,
yeah,
and the applause of the crowd, I guess, would determine the winner.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi was accompanied by the Usos.
Yes.
Lana was introduced and accompanied to the ring by Rusev and Aiden English.
Correct.
Lana went first.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi went second.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, rather than there's a show of apparent sportsmanship, they hugged. They did the kid and play,
mm-hmm,
which I'm always a fan of.
Yeah.
And then they stood back to back, and then Lana dropped Naomi with a neck breaker.
Yeah, how do you not like that?
That was great.
And then
she got on top of Naomi, fast hands.
Yeah.
The Usos toss Rusev and English from the ring. Naomi hit Riverview on Lana, and I think next week it was announced.
How'd you like Aiden English getting rolled over almost by the because Lana started doing the fast hands, and the Usos didn't move to like stop her because that would be like, you know, intergender, I guess.
Yeah, but Rusev went over to pull Lana off.
Rusev did, and then Aiden English tried to help, and he fell down, and they almost rolled over.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
In a little, like, half comedic spot, which I thought was pretty cute. But then, yeah, Rusev pulled Lana off.
We're getting a six-person mixed tag match next week.
Yeah.
Usos and Naomi versus Lana and Rusev Day.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's good. I mean, I just, you know, neither Rusev nor Lana are going to win Money in the Bank.
Doesn't seem that way.
So I hope, you know, I'm just hoping that that's not going to be the impetus for them breaking up Aiden English from them.
I know.
I don't see how it could be.
I know.
He's going to have zero, you know, nothing about that match is going to involve Aiden English, so they shouldn't use that
unless
as the
impetus. Unless they try to shoehorn in where Rusev's like on the precipice of winning or something, and Aiden English comes out to try to help and ends up costing the match.
Rusev, they have so many other bigger names in that match that I would be really surprised if they do that.
Next, the New Day. Backstage,
mm-hmm.
walking towards the ramp.
The next part of this is the better part.
Yeah, and then we cut to T-Bar and The Miz, and T-Bar is throwing pancakes at The Miz. He has his bandana pulled down below his eyes.
So blindfold, he's like karate chopping the pancakes.
Playing Fruit Ninja.
I started cracking up when I saw that.
Yeah, pretty funny.
I started laughing about that. That was good.
And after a commercial break, we got New Day versus T-Bar and The Miz. This was fantastic.
This was a fantastic match. Is it just me or I know I don't pay attention half the time. Kofi Kingston seems to be like coming up with new shit all the time. There were some things in this match that granted, maybe he's done them before, but I know he hasn't been doing them for very long. There were a couple things. Okay. So like, was it last week when he jumped off the shoulder when he
off of Cesaro.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
This week there were a couple different moves that I was like, whoa, did not see that coming. It is such a testament to the New Day that they are coming up with new things to do in the ring. They're not just resting on their laurels.
Xavier Woods did something different yesterday too.
Yeah.
He did like a springboard move to the outside.
Yeah.
I don't remember him doing before.
Yeah. There's to the delight of the crowd too, because one of those moves that I thought could have been a finish, which it ended up not being.
It was
a tandem move.
The Big E gave someone a Uranagi.
Yeah.
And then Xavier Woods does the backbreaker.
Yeah.
They've done that before.
Yeah.
They did it in Hell in a Cell, like onto the floor. That was stiff.
Okay.
I thought there was
some other move that they did in tandem, and I forget what it was. But the crowd was like, whoa. Like there was an audible gasp kind of from the crowd. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
That is something else, man. They could coast. But these guys, like especially like Kofi and like Xavier and all three of them,
yeah,
they're like doing interesting things. Like it's kind of like Cesaro. Like I haven't noticed it from him as much, but especially when Cesaro was on his solo run before he hooked up with Sheamus, like every time he would come to the ring, even if it was a small thing, he would do new things.
Yeah,
and it was really fascinating to watch somebody continue to hone their craft.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool.
It was neat. It was cool.
Yeah, it was a good match.
Fantastic match. In the end, Big E picked up the win, pinning Miz after the big ending.
Yeah.
And afterwards, all three members of New Day stood below the briefcases, pointing at it, kind of teasing an announcement of some sort of who is going to be the New Day's representative in the Money in the Bank.
It's got to be Big E, right? It's got to be Big E.
You'd think so, since he picked up the win in this match. Although Xavier Woods has been putting on some really great performances of late.
I know.
It's either of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right about that.
I mean, we've been hearing for a little bit that they have huge things in mind for Big E.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Again, I'll believe that when I see it.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see it, though.
I'd love for it to be Big E, man.
Imagine if he pulled that briefcase off the ladder in the Money in the Bank match.
I know.
And then the New Day freebirding, essentially.
Yeah.
The briefcase.
The cash in. I know. Boy, that'd be something else. That would be so interesting. Why don't they do that?
I know.
Next up, we had an interview with Gallows and Anderson, conspicuously not being referred to as a club anymore.
They haven't referred to them as a club in a long time.
In a little
time.
While, I know. The Good Brothers, Gallows and Anderson. And Carl Anderson's obviously been going to the gym. They made reference to that. What's his face? Gallows referred to his best friend, Carl Abs Anderson. And Carl unleashed his abs on the world.
Yeah, opened his vest up, showed off those abs.
Looked great.
Yeah, he's in great shape.
And they were talking about their match, their upcoming loss against the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah.
Money in the Bank.
They called them nerds, and after they did so, Carl Anderson notices something off camera, looks to the TV next to him, and it starts going all staticky, and then it cuts to, you know, through some sort of magic, the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, well, I think they just changed the inputs in the production truck.
Well, I don't even think they did that. They probably just pressed the button. I think the inputs were already in place.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. You know, you hit the button, you're changing the input.
No, from a production aspect, I understand it, but kayfabe.
Oh, kayfabe-wise, magic.
I didn't understand Bludgeon Brothers were a supernatural force. I thought they...
Well, yeah, man, they're part of the Wyatts. They have teleportation.
No, but they're not associated with Bray Wyatt anymore.
Well, they were.
Yeah.
They took that info.
At no point since they've come out as Bludgeon Brothers have they shown any supernatural tendencies.
Well, they did when they were the Wyatts. Doesn't
but they're
they
not
haven't
Wyatts
needed
anymore.
To, have they? They haven't
they're
needed
not
to.
Wyatts
situations
anymore.
Have not
they've
necessitated
themselves
them.
From the Wyatts, even when they were members of the Wyatts. I see unto themselves them possessing any sorts of powers.
They didn't need to use them, but they had them. Makes sense.
All they have now is giant hammers.
And evidently some sort of magical powers,
no, they
man.
They have friends in
Fine.
Production truck.
You explain it kayfabe. That's your kayfabe explanation? That's a terrible explanation.
No, kayfabe. It has to be supernatural power.
You're a horrible person.
Sense. Doesn't make any sense. This is one.
What did they say? I didn't pay attention.
They're in Bray Wyatt territory. I don't really pay attention to what they say because it's nonsense. It doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah. Well, they're going to win against the non-club.
Yeah, I know.
Against the formerly known as club. Anyways, after that, we had Mandy Rose with her sultry entrance and then Asuka with her interrupted entrance.
Yeah, Sonya Deville laid her out.
Thank God it wasn't Sonya Deville in this match because I did not want to see those damn strobe lights anymore.
Well, those are great. This is a good match, though. I really enjoyed this.
Mandy Rose is a good little wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff that she's doing out there. Anyways, decent little story. Of course, obviously, Sonya Deville took out Asuka, like you said. And then Asuka, so, you know, she kept on yelling at the ref, ring the bell, ring the damn bell. You know, I am what I am. I'm injured. Yeah, that hurt. But I'm here to fight.
Yeah.
And then she did. Mandy Rose had the upper hand pre-commercial break. After the commercial break, Asuka gains the upper hand, ends up tapping her out to the Asuka lock.
Yeah.
Carmella was on commentary the entire time. She gets in the ring, face off. Carmella.
She holds belt up.
Moonwalks out.
And moonwalks out, yes.
And then leaves.
Yeah.
And
while Asuka's still selling the effects of not only the match, but the pre-match beatdown, courtesy of Sonya Deville.
Yes.
Quality match.
Looking forward to Mella in the bank.
Yes. Next. Charlotte and Becky Lynch backstage watching, apparently, what was unfolding.
Watching it all go down.
Paige comes up to him. Oh, they start arguing because Charlotte is picturing in her mind the results of Money in the Bank, herself winning.
They're vision questing.
Yeah, kind of. They're not out in the desert or anything, but
right.
Kind of.
Right, exactly. They should get the, what are those called? The vision boards?
Yeah.
That's what they should be making.
So Charlotte says she's going to win Money in the Bank. Asuka's going to beat Carmella, set up a WrestleMania rematch. And then Becky says, no, you're looking at a wall.
Yeah.
Look over to your left a bit more. And there you will see Becky Lynch winning Money in the Bank. They argue a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Paige enters, says, you know, hey, it's a team.
PCB.
PCB reunion. Let's do the T thing. They don't do it.
Yeah. I was disappointed by that.
And then she leaves. And it's later announced that we're going to get Charlotte versus Becky Lynch next week.
Paige is killing it, dude.
Yeah, she's doing
she's
a great
really
job.
She's really good.
She's doing a fantastic really job. Next, also backstage, Andrade
El Idolo!
Cien Almas exits. I wish they put up a sign on his door that said Andrade Cien Almas locker room, not men's locker room. You know, he's got these nice suits, all
right.
the promos before he right. debuted, and he's in like fancy cars or you know, like an Escalade or something.
Yeah.
Why don't they just put a placard over that door that says Andrade Cien Almas locker
what
room?
What kind of manager is Zelina Vega
that can't score her client a private locker
Andrade
room.
Andrade Almas has to change in the same locker room where there's a bunch of old naked dudes with their nasty hanging balls there after they've had a, you know,
a match.
A match.
Yeah.
At the, I just figure it's a gym locker room.
Yeah, I know.
Like it's Planet Fitness.
Yeah. Anyways, he exits.
How is she supposed to like confer with her client in private?
Yeah.
When there's a bunch of old, hairy, naked balls hanging around. Come on now.
Yeah. Private locker room.
Private locker room.
He exits the men's locker room. He is approached by Sin Cara. Sin Cara tries to strike up a conversation.
Yeah.
Zelina Vega sees what's happening. She's like, why are you talking to my client? And Sin Cara says, well, you know, Andrade and I, we go way back.
We go way back.
You know, just catching up.
Yeah, man.
And then she says, no.
Yeah.
You're not talking to him.
No good. No bueno.
And then Sin Cara says, come on, Andrade.
He's like, is this going to stand? And he looks at Vega. He looks at Sin Cara. And I have no idea what he said.
Yeah, I don't either.
He spoke Spanish. I assume he said something like, you know, GTFO, Sin Cara.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big old loser.
Yeah.
You know, there's two different types of L's in Spanish. There's L, and then there's AA, which is two L's.
Yeah. I know that. I took Spanish.
Well, which would be loser? What's loser in Spanish?
I don't know.
I'm going to find out right now. Loser in Spanish. Oh, that's funny. It's sin cara. Perdedor. Perdedor. Perdedor? Eres un perdedor. I don't remember him saying that. But
yeah, I don't remember that either.
In any event.
We're getting sin cara versus Almas.
Gee, I wonder who's going to win that one. Hey, that's cool, though. It's not another local jobber.
Yeah.
You know. So, good for Sin Cara getting on TV next week, probably.
Yeah. Or at least the week after that.
Yeah.
Next up, our main event, Samoa Joe versus Cass versus
Daniel
Bryan.
It started like a half hour left in the show, mm-hmm. So that was cool.
But there was two commercial breaks during this match, and I don't like that.
Well, it's better than it started. Like, remember the Cena-Nakamura one started, like, with 20 minutes left in the show?
Yeah, so I'm aware of that.
There was a much more bigger chunk. This is a longish match.
5 minutes of it. That's my contention.
Well,
with commercial breaks.
That's how it is every week, man.
And it's bogus.
No different than any other week.
Bogus.
If you kick things off with a half hour, we got like a good.
Anyways, it was a quality match. A lot of twists and turns.
Mm-hmm.
Fun match. I enjoyed it a lot. Cass wasn't asked to do much beyond just hit clubbing blows on Samoa Joe and just do what he is good at doing.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan and Samoa Joe kind of carried the rest of the story.
Yeah, pretty much. I was always excited when it was Daniel Bryan versus Samoa Joe.
Oh, yeah.
And Big Cass would come in and play spoiler.
Yeah. That makes me think that they got something planned for Joe and Daniel Bryan. Because
they're
building up anticipation for it.
I hope so.
Towards the end, Daniel Bryan hits Cass with a knee plus.
Mm-hmm.
Goes for the pin. Joe, I think this was the second or third attempt, going for the Coquina clutch.
Mm-hmm.
Gets in on Daniel Bryan to break up the pin. Of course, Cass is laid out because of the knee.
Yeah.
Can't break it up. Joe has the Coquina clutch locked in. Daniel Bryan passes out. Joe picks up the win.
Sure took that ref long enough. They need to get a bit more consistent with that. Sometimes they go for a bit, like a couple of these,
yeah,
like with the arm.
Well, Daniel Bryan was struggling for a while. When he stopped struggling, that's
he was
ref...
struggling for a while, but then he was out for a while too. You can't have the airflow cut off to your brain for too long.
No.
Before really bad things start happening.
Yeah, that causes problems.
Thankfully, it's wrestling. It's all fake, so he was fine.
Yeah. So afterwards, Joe leaves. Cass hits a boot to Daniel Bryan.
Sometimes, I noticed during this match, sometimes the camera people like totally anticipate. Because you know when like somebody breaks up a pinfall or a submission, the camera usually goes a little wider.
Mm-hmm.
At one point when Joe had Daniel Bryan, it was before the finish, but he had him like almost in the Coquina clutch. He had something going on. The camera went out like that and nothing happened and went back in. Stop anticipating.
Yeah, don't anticipate. Because sometimes when someone just jumps in from out of frame,
right.
It's nice.
So Cass hits Bryan with that big boot.
Yeah.
After the match is over. So it looks like we're going to get them at Money in the Bank. I wonder if there's going to be any stipulation in this match. Probably not. It's not like Cass has any specialties.
No.
Besides lumbering and big boots,
mm-hmm,
and strikes.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So
Daniel Bryan should challenge him to a submission match.
Or like an I Quit match.
No, I think considering there's the last man standing match at Money in the Bank between Nakamura and Styles, I think that's probably going to be the lone stipulation match. When you already have two ladder matches plus that, that's three
Name
stipulation matches.
Name one submission that Cass has demonstrated he knows.
No, exactly. That's why Daniel Bryan would say, I want a submission match. That gives him the obvious upper hand.
Wouldn't Cass just say, I don't know any submissions. I don't want to do that match.
Maybe he should learn one.
Maybe that should be Daniel Bryan's response. Maybe learn one. Learn wrestling.
No, let's say just like that.
Yeah.
Maybe you should learn one.
Maybe you should learn one. Match is booked. No, it's not booked.
It is booked. Anyway, I used to be GM. I booked it.
Yeah, I booked it. It's my last act as GM.
I looked at the future and saw I was going to be doing a battle with you. Booked this mission match.
Anyways, let's answer some questions, Larson. Do we
sure.
have the? We're doing trivia after this. Do we have the questions anywhere?
I'll take care of that. Find us a
you
question,
get that?
Please.
Okay. Oh God! What a terrible question from Dylan the Villain Scribner. If you guys could shoot wrestle anyone in WWE, who would it be and why?
Wow. Probably nobody.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah, nobody. Big Cass. Go after his knee.
There you go.
Hope that he doesn't punch me first. Let's see here. The Giraffe Master Robert Chacon. Out of the current roster, who do you want to be the ultimate commentator group for both Raw and SmackDown?
Kevin Owens.
No, well,
what? Just of the announced teams that exist now?
Well, he's his current roster, so I think you can just continue with what you were saying.
Oh, Kevin Owens. We answered this a similar question not that long ago.
So let's do this. Let's take the pool of announcers.
Yeah.
And the pool of wrestlers.
So I'll keep Corey Graves.
Keep Corey Graves. I'll do mine is this. Corey Graves, Nigel McGuinness, Todd Phillips, and Samoa Joe.
No, that's good. Can't top that.
But Kevin Owens in there too.
All right.
Because I really like his
Yeah, Kevin Owens is great. GM Spud Hafer knows it seemed like the roster on SmackDown is just having more fun overall compared to the roster on Raw.
It does.
With the exception of Seth Rollins, yes.
It absolutely does.
Seth Rollins seemed like he's having a blast.
Seth, Finn, and Braun all seem like they're having a blast. But the entire vibe of SmackDown just feels more fun.
Yeah.
It really does.
Raymond Earl, if you had to put Corey Graves on SmackDown or Raw permanently, which would you choose and why?
Whichever show Elias is on, which is Raw right now, Corey Graves would follow Elias.
This is what I'm going to say. Given Tom Phillips and Corey Graves' chemistry.
Ooh, good point.
SmackDown, unless they bring Booker T back to Raw full time.
Okay, all right.
In which case, Corey Graves stays on Raw because he and Booker T are gold together.
Well thought out answer. Well thought out answer. PJ Segundo. Still no sanity on SmackDown. What are some kayfabe reasons you guys think they haven't shown up yet?
They're too busy doing chaos elsewhere.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, they can never find the friggin' arena. They keep on showing up at Full Sail.
They start making the way of the arena, and they're like, oh, here's a car we could turn over. Because right. Isn't that all of, like, that video package is like cars that are turned over?
It's essentially, like
garbage cans on fire, stuff like that.
It's like post-championship wins.
Yeah, celebrations
yes. In the city. Exactly.
Yeah, turning cars over, lighting stuff on fire, that kind of stuff. That's
so
what they're doing
that. Or another reason is they're kayfabe waiting for Nikki Cross to be done with whatever she's doing.
Oh, that could be.
They're searching for Nikki Cross.
Oh, that could be.
They can't find her.
George Calloway, he was at the show last night in the dark match.
Is he related to Mark?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he'll respond on the follow-up. The match after the show was between Charlotte and Carmella. Fun match with some unique stuff I hadn't seen before. Some comedy spots, Charlotte's home crowd, and good all-around sports entertainment. His question is, do you guys have a favorite dark match you've seen?
Oh, man, I don't know.
It wasn't a dark match, but that spot where Bray was hiding underneath the ring.
Oh, good one.
And then go sprinting out up the
ramp. Yeah, that was fun.
After cameras went off, that was hilarious.
It was comedic.
I don't think that Raw we got a dark match. It was just a promo. And everybody beat up The Miz. And then Bray went sprinting up the ramp.
Yeah, it was just a segment.
But if we're going to consider this live events period, Oney Lorcan versus Roderick Strong, the first NXT house show.
Oh,
went to,
good point.
Man, that was a great match.
You have a better memory than I do. Embryonic Reflection. It is clear to see that Okada and AJ Styles are the two best wrestlers in the world at the moment. In that order, he says. With that being said, what would Styles need to do to eclipse Okada's god status?
He'd probably go back to New Japan.
It would be he'd have to find some way under the WWE's umbrella to get a 6-star match out of Nakamura and then Daniel Bryan and then Samoa Joe.
And then also go to Raw, Seth Rollins.
Oh, man. That'd be great.
Brad Fisher, who would win in a dance-off, Steve or Larson?
Oh, yeah, I'll give that one to you. I'm fine with that.
I got moves.
You oddly have some rhythm. The Discord Wolfpack underboss. I don't get the rest of his name. Oh, Jimmy Thomas. The superstar fact tonight was that Big Cass was pre-med in college. What wrestler would be the best and worst in kayfabe doctor?
I feel like the Bludgeon Brothers would be the worst.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel like sanitation is high on their list of priorities.
Good point.
They'd probably use their giant toy hammers as some sort of medical instruments.
I feel like in conjunction with that, I feel sanity would be terrible doctors as well.
Mm-hmm.
What's his face? Alexander Wolf sounds like a crazy doctor. Let's see what we can do with you today.
I think he would be the... Well, I mean,
I will open your head.
Wasn't John Cena one of his prior gimmicks a doctor
of Thugonomics?
Oh, sorry.
That's kind of like being a doctor of because you know you can get a doctorate in any number of subjects.
Yeah,
you know, but it's like, well, I'm not a medical doctor.
Yeah,
you know.
Still, he was a doctor. So
my doctorate is in Thugonomics.
I'll say I'll say Johnson. He seems very thorough.
No, that's a terrible answer. He would be on the worst list.
No, I don't think he would be on the worst list.
Yeah, well, it's thugonomics. It's not medical.
I'm not using that doctorate as the basis. I'm saying
the best and worst in kayfabe doctor.
I think he'd be very thorough. Very professional.
I think Daniel
I think
Bryan,
he'd have a very good bedside manner.
Daniel Bryan would be best.
He'd be like a holistic doctor.
Well, no. He's done a lot of like research into heads.
Yeah.
So I would say that, you know, he knows a lot.
No, that's a good answer.
He'd be good doctor. Anti-Hamalanian. I swear I feel so bad every time I try to do that name. Are there any female wrestlers who could join in the New Day?
I feel like it's so hard. It would be hard for anybody to join the New Day and find a space to exist within the faction because the chemistry between those three guys is so good.
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody would be able to fit into all that.
Yeah, I know. Seamlessly. I'm trying to think right now.
I mean, because on Matt chat a week or two ago, someone asked if say, Big E were to leave, could No Way Jose come in and take a spot? And No Way.
No, No Way Jose.
Because the chemistry between those three guys is so great. I don't know if anybody could fit in and still make it work to as well as it does now. I could be wrong, but that would be my concern.
Let's see here. Master of memes Blake White.
There's like dot dot dot, so I don't know if there's more to his name. Master of memes.
Oh, Blake Whitehouse. I was gonna ask a wrestling related question, but then I saw the new Pokemon game trailers, so I'll ask you this. Do you or your kids play Pokemon? No, but Alabama does have an affinity for just the characters. She sees them and knows what they are.
I've never played Pokemon before.
Nemo asks, before the attack, who won the dance-off?
Good question.
I feel like Lana's routine got more of a response from the crowd, and given that that's the final answer, or that's that the crowd had the final say, I would say this time it was Lana.
All right. Tommy T, hey friend, so the greatest of all time, in my opinion, means the best all around performer. So guys like HBK, who are amazing in the ring but only average when it came to promos, don't qualify. Whoa. So my question is, who are the five greatest performers that, while great, aren't in the conversation of being the GOAT?
While great, aren't in the conversation of being the GOAT. I would say
Ricky Steamboat.
So like this kind of, oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
He was phenomenal in the ring.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's always the guys that we talk about who never won, like, the WWE Championship. You have Mr. Perfect. You have Rick Rude.
Mr. Perfect's a good one.
You got Razor Ramon. Piper. Those are, like, four names that I would consider great, but not in the conversation for being greatest of all time. So there you go. Next.
Bronze grappling hook. Since SmackDown was named after The Rock's catchphrase, and WWE obviously got Raw from you guys, what other catchphrases could be the name of a new show?
Ooh. Wednesday night, baby.
That's good. Who else has like a... Oh, okay, it was something with Braun. Get these.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. WWE get these hands.
Yeah, something like that.
That could be good. That could be fun. I mean, no, it'd have to be like their actual catchphrase would work for a show name.
Yeah.
Get these hands kind of works kind of. A little bit. I mean, it's no less goofy than SmackDown.
Oh, I know.
If you think about it. Can't really use...
Glorious Wednesday night.
WWE is glorious, yeah. Glory, yeah. Yeah, it could work. WWE, I hear voices in my head. That's just lyrics, but still.
I know.
What's another catchphrase? WWE's, you just made the list.
Wednesday night deletion.
Yeah, there you go. Caleb 1 Morgan. Seeing Ty last night had me remembering the 2017 Rumble and how over he was during that match. and I feel like he has the potential to return to that level. What does he have to do to get back to that level?
Who?
Ty.
Oh. Well, first be on TV. Second, maybe win a couple matches.
Why he should? He really should have been
involved
in
a decent storyline.
Yeah, but none of those things are going to happen without a repackaging of some sort.
Well, he just cut his hair.
A repackaging, man?
You can't do a full repackage, but people love doing this.
Do they really, though?
They did.
Do they really?
They did. And then now they're giving...
Ty is already a nostalgia act.
Given no reason to do it because he's hardly ever on TV.
He's already a nostalgia act.
Yeah, kind of. I know.
So, repackage Ty.
No.
No? You're not going to repackage him?
No, I like the perfect 10.
Well, what would he have to do then? Because none of the stuff that you said, well, that applies to everybody, though.
Yeah.
Anybody who's not on TV can do those basic things, but they're not asking that. You don't have any repackaging ideas for Ty Dillinger?
Just maybe do, instead of doing the hair like yours, part it to the side, comb it back a little bit.
Okay, that's going to do the trick right there.
CM Punk finds it insulting. In kayfabe, what happened to someone from Raw when his Money in the Bank decides to cash in on Brock Lesnar on that same night when he's not there? Would they win the title via forfeit? No. I think your competitor actually has to be in the venue for a match to happen. And no match would be signed if Brock Lesnar's not there.
Yeah.
I think the best you could say is, well, I'm going to cash in next time Brock Lesnar's around.
I wouldn't believe Ty for a heel turn. No. I wouldn't. It's just not believable. He's got too kind of a face.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a parallel wrestler who actually had some success that I kind of think of when I think of Ty Dillinger. Because he has that everyman quality just with a weird haircut. And he never really demonstrated why he's the perfect 10. That was kind of my thing about him. It's like, it's kind of a generic thing.
You know, in NXT,
it's a good hook.
Yeah, it is. In NXT, I think it was kind of, especially once he won that losing streak, it seemed like, all right, I'm not necessarily the perfect 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I aspire to be. That's how I kind of took it.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's good. I kind of feel like he would need... Okay, so when they... And I have no idea. I have no, like, crystal clear idea. But when they debuted Mr. Perfect, with those great vignettes of him being perfect, you know? I feel like he would need something along those lines. He needs, like, a greater grasp on the hook of being the perfect 10. So that's what it would be. But in the end, I mean, it would be like, for me, it'd be, just, you'd have to put on like perfect, that's what you do. Perfect wrestling matches. Somehow incorporate the idea of putting on perfect wrestling matches.
Oh, that'd be good.
And then he gets pissed off if somebody jacks up a move.
He says, I don't want to get 5-star matches. I want to get 10-star matches.
10-star matches. There you go. So I try to answer the question.
Richard Nason. Why they have Joe, McDaniel, Bryan passed out instead of Cass to advance a storyline with them for after Money in the Bank? It all feeds into Daniel Bryan's story where he's still getting back into ring shape, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it'll lead to something. Assuming no one gets hurt.
Steve Zodiac Killer. Oh, is that Adam Nuttall? I think it is. That's great. He's not my Zodiac Killer. He is the Zodiac Killer.
What
that was
in your mind. In your mind.
I proved it without a shadow of a doubt. You just have to figure out like the years that he was born versus the years that the crimes happened.
I feel like there's going to be a massive
And
gap
as long
there.
As you figure that math out.
I feel like there's going to be
a
pretty
math.
Significant disparity. Anyways, answer his question.
Adam Nuttall, Zodiac Killer confirmed. When was the last time you got worked because I legit thought Cass was hurt?
They did a good job with that one.
They did a damn good job with it. Let me ask you something. This is like not really related to this question necessarily. Did they expect people to like wonder about Roman Reigns more than they have with him being gone from Raw?
Oh, I doubt it.
Yeah.
I think they just gave him
They
that
didn't
off.
Really mention it
oh,
on
I
the
know.
Show.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. He's supposed to be like...
I don't know.
Still bugs the crap out of me. They have so many potential, like, great main eventers.
That's a whole other conversation.
We literally had it yesterday.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Chris K, do you think the reason they're not putting Daniel in the Money in the Bank match is because they're waiting for him to sign new contracts and they know what to do with him? I just don't think they want to put someone with a history of concussions in the ladder match. That's my feeling. Especially, a month after coming back? A month and a half?
Do you think that's the main concern?
I don't know if it's a main concern, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a concern.
I would,
and for him, I think for his story, they're pushing now. The path to the title would be more satisfying if he did it the traditional manner, either winning some sort of contender match or ideally winning the Rumble, winning at Mania.
Yeah,
versus cashing in Money in the Bank.
I think. Yeah, I think the I'm trying to piece together what the main reason for him not being in Money in the Bank is. Probably because they don't view him as sort of the obvious winner. I think what you're saying is probably partially true, having him go a more traditional route. On the other hand, I don't think they think about things that much. I think probably it's probably like, because him versus Cass is a relatively safe match to have, and it's also a spotlight for him as opposed to being in with a bunch of other, you know, like Braun, Finn, a bunch of other really popular guys in that match.
Yeah.
Instead of being part of the crowd, he gets his own spotlight. Maybe. But also, it wouldn't surprise me if they wanted to kill a couple birds with that stone and keep him out of the match. That might pose some danger to him. That wouldn't surprise me, yeah.
Hoss Man Cometh. Other than an eclipse from the ladder, what other high spots do you want to see at Money in the Bank? How about Samoa Joe doing a muscle buster off the ladder?
No! Oh, my God. Do you want somebody to die?
He doesn't do the muscle buster anymore. It's kind of a bummer. I like that move.
Yeah, me too.
He did it off. He did a second rope one to Finn in NXT in a cage match.
Yeah. But off a ladder sounds horrifying.
Yeah, I don't even know how you would do that.
Me neither.
Steve Zodiac Killer says a coup de grace. That'd be good, but I fear that...
Oh, we'll see that.
Finn would break his ankles.
It's not going to be off the top, but it'll be five rungs up,
mm-hmm.
or four rungs up. Yeah, we'll see that for sure.
Get a couple ladders up there, have Miz do a skull-crushing finale off it.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Have we seen that before? I want to say we've seen that before.
Maybe we have.
I could see Big E doing like some variation of his finisher. All he does is like bring him down like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
I could see that. What's Braun going to do from up on high?
I can't really see him doing anything. If he's scaling a ladder, it's probably to get that briefcase off.
It's going to be more people falling on him from the ladder and catching
power slams, yes. Yeah. He'll probably power slam somebody into a ladder.
Yeah. That should be a fun match.
Oh, it'd be
great.
Let
me ask you this.
What?
So there's a lot of great talent in that Money in the Bank match.
Uh-huh.
Will this be better? Will it be more fun or not as fun as the NXT ladder match? Hard to top that.
Well, I don't think they're also going to give it 45 minutes.
True. Yeah, true.
So I think that's kind of a major thing. I doubt it'll be as fun, but I still think it'll be pretty fun.
I think it'll be pretty damn fun. But you're right. I think it's going to be really hard to top that match. That match was so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Let's do some trivia.
All right, let's do some trivia.
I have a card here, 6 questions.
From the What Culture Wrestling Trivia Game.
No, I thought we had had this card before, but we haven't.
Number one.
The
staging area behind the curtain in a wrestling arena shares a name with which primate?
Well, gorilla, but it's named after Gorilla Monsoon.
I know.
What was the name of WCW's Thursday night show?
Oh, Larson. There's a storm coming. Steve is drunk, so it's time to watch Thunder.
Thunder.
Number two, what was the name of WWE's developmental territory prior to being NXT?
It was Florida Championship Wrestling.
Very good. Put a finger up.
I did. Luke Gallows previously wrestled in WWE under which name?
Festus.
Yes.
Number three, superstar bio. Who was Bret Hart's first WCW match against?
I'll say Dynamite Kid.
What? First WCW.
Oh,
match.
Sorry. I thought I said WWE. Heard WWF. Sorry.
When he came to WCW. Oh,
yeah.
You know,
I'm trying to think.
I'm here. I'm sad.
He took from forever to wrestle.
I'm going to have a match against somebody. Who's it going to be against?
Mr. Perfect. Kurt Hennig.
No, good guess, but Ric Flair.
No.
Kind of surprised at that one. Would have figured there'd be a build to that.
Yeah. Who managed Kai and Tai in WWF?
Mr. Fuji?
Yamaguchi-san.
No. Who won the NWA World Heavyweight Championship at Texas Stadium on May the 6th, 1984?
I believe that was Kerry Von Erich.
Very good, and he did not hold it very long.
No. In which year was NWO 2000 formed?
'99.
Yeah.
What was the advertised main event of SummerSlam 99 on August 10th of that year? This is a tricky question.
Was the advertised main event of SummerSlam 99?
Yes.
On August 10th of that year?
August 10th of that year.
So before the show actually happened, I would suspect they advertised it on this particular... That's a weird question.
It is a weird question.
So 99... Oh. That was the one that Ventura refereed.
Correct, I believe.
So it would have been... Stone Cold versus Triple H?
No.
Damn.
Well, this is a really tough one.
Because then
China had been the number one contender.
Oh, okay.
She had been the number one.
So it would
have
been China versus Stone Cold.
Which would have been killer.
I know. Why they
would have been killer, man.
Why didn't they follow through on that? Which former WWE champion's name literally translates as horizontal rope?
I don't know.
Yokozuna.
Well, okay. At the time of the company's dissolution, what was the total worth of ECW's... This is stupid. I mean, there's no way you're going to get this. I'll give you a hint. At the time of the company's dissolution, what was the total worth of ECW's remaining merchandise inventory? It's a comically low number.
$3,000.
$4.
Wow. It is comically low. Who was the first wrestler to blow green mist into his opponent's faces?
Muda?
The Great Kabuki.
Oh, interesting. I got three.
Same.
Okay, good job.
It's a tie. We all win.
Wow, we all win. Everybody wins. That's it for show.
Good show.
We get to win because we get to do lunch now.
Yeah, well, we got post-show for the patrons, then we get to do lunch.
Very good.
Did you bring a lunch or you need to get something?
I'm going
to
make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
No, I have to get some. I didn't bring anything today. I didn't have time this morning.
Anyways, here we go. Outro music. Thank you, Hilton. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Leave us a comment in the comment section or on CastBox in the comments there. You might get a thanks, friendo. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.